This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, e te rangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that healing path, I have the beautiful and the wonderful Antoinette, all the way from up north in Kirikiri. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, Jason, for inviting me on here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming on. It's been a long time coming. I met you at the old Packhouse Market up there, and you had all these beautiful sacred gems and stones and crystals, and we had an awesome conversation. I could see there was a lot of deepness there behind you and not just what you had in front of you. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to have you on. I love getting other people's perspectives on life and their journeys and their stories. And, yeah, so can you describe your market stall or your shop and what it is you do and sell?
Yeah, sure. So basically, what I present is your Prana Mineral Gallery, and we're all about minerals. So from crystals and mineral specimens, so thinking of like beautiful raw and polished pieces, right through to crafting jewellery, and then carving tile.
Cool. And how long have you been doing this?
I think full time, it's coming on about 7 years now.
Yeah, so what got you into this? What was your journey? How did you get into this line of work?
It started off as a childhood passion. My Opera and I, we used to scour the beach, finding all sorts of different stones, different shells, and we would take them home and play with them. And so from tutoring there, it just evolved over time.
Yeah, I remember, and I think it was primary or intermediate, where we were like polishing things and playing with those things, but it must, you know, it's grasped you, so maybe there's something in your past life about it.
Yeah, potentially.
So the name Your Prana, why did you pick that name?
So prana is Sanskrit, and prana translates into universal energy, and so universal energy is the energy that is in everything and everyone, so every state of matter. And your prana is us doing all we can to enhance your energy, your state, your presence, in whatever aspect or form that presents itself in.
And how did you come across prana, Sanskrit? Is that some of yoga, or yeah, how did you get into that?
Yeah, that comes from my yoga background, absolutely.
Oh, are you a teacher or?
Yes, I am.
Ah.
Yeah.
Did you learn here or did you go overseas?
I actually learned here. Yeah. Going way back, I started off as a personal trainer at Les Mills, and I have a whole health and wellness journey that I was doing for a very long time while I did the minerals on the side. So yoga teacher, holistic health practitioner, movement rehabilitation specialist, just a few things.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. So looking at the stuff you have in your gallery, I was looking at it's got quite a range there. And yeah, I was just wondering, like, how would someone know, like, a piece is like, because you can buy online, right? Like, it can't all come up north. So I'm just trying to think, how does one pick something? And is there a purpose behind each different mineral piece? Like, if someone's looking for healing, or someone's looking for love, or whatever, are those things relevant, and are they part of it?
Absolutely. It all comes into play. So let's say someone further afield was wanting to connect. What I would suggest is that they book a Zoom with us, and we have a one-on-one kind of korero where we take them through the gems and see what their personal connection is. Now, some people are attracted to the spirituality side of it. Mm. Other people want to know more about the symbolism and the different cultural aspects. So, for instance, here in New Zealand, the Pounamu carvings, the Māori culture, but then other pieces, you know, relate to different cultures around the world. Another person might be more interested in the colours or the chakras. Someone else might be interested in how their birth date aligns with the different zodiac signs and what stones align with the zodiac signs. So we find what resonates with that person. Another aspect could be science. Maybe they want to know about the locality, the formation, the composition. We teach on all those aspects.
And do you have history behind each stone and gem?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of the pieces that we work with, how they were created, the intention behind them, but also the history behind the stones. So what I've been working on publishing slowly via our website is a stone encyclopedia that contains all those aspects I just mentioned earlier in a clear, concise way. So if you are interested in any of those elements, you can go there and be like, oh, that's why this and this and this.
Okay, so for me, Taurus May, what stones are related to that?
Off the top of my head, there's actually many stones per sign, so I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know which one yours is that you resonate with primary? Because, like, for instance, Pisces has aquamarine, amethyst, moonstone, fluorite, just to name a few.
I mean, just personally, like personally, I love the turquoise, that sort of green, bluish color. I like it as it relates to the heart and the throat chakra. I think that's been my journey my whole life, is to find more love and expression, personal self-expression. So I've always liked those colors.
Okay, interesting. I say interesting because turquoise generally relates to children born in December. And this is why, you have this inquiry. And so, yeah, throat chakra, clear, concise communication, confidence, clarity, ability to articulate your feelings, purposefully. And then the heart chakra. Interesting, you talk about green with the heart chakra because more commonly now, the chakra in relation to the heart is known as pink in more modern times. Used to be green, and before it was green, it was that all the chakras were white.
Do you know the history there of how it changed?
It was just they changed it to colors to make it more identifiable, but there's also far more than seven chakras within the body. Just ask your local chiropractor as well, they'll tell you a whole lot more about it.
And they're all different, the chiros. Some I find are a bit more spiritual, some less so, but yeah. You got to find the right one for you. That's cool. I didn't know that. What's one of your favorite pieces? Like, what are the stones that attract you?
Me personally, I absolutely love Pounamu. Pounamu has a huge significance to me, and I love educating on the different types of Pounamu as well, the variations that we have in New Zealand. Serpentinite is one of my favorite ones. And once you see it in the translucency and the different patterns and textures involved in that, you absolutely understand.
Is it clear, or what is that? What's the color scheme?
It changes. There can be white aspects, there can be black aspects in it, but mainly primarily green and then darker shades to lighter shades of green.
Nice. Okay, serpentine.
Yeah. Then, in terms of more worldly gems, I love opal. Opal is absolutely different and fascinating, and you never get the same piece twice. So many complexities within it as well. What's yours?
Yeah, I like those. I like the pink. I like the rose quartz and the turquoise. What's the other one? Lapuas? Is that
Lapis lazuli?
lapis lazuli? Yeah, I like that one.
Blue with kind of like golden flecks in it.
I think so. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
and
so
for
that's pyrite inclusions in the lapis lazuli.
okay. And I'm just trying to think now, what's attracting me? Is it the color? Is it the energy of the color? Is it the energy of the stone? Like, I'm trying to figure out for myself, what is it that is actually attracting me? Is it my left brain? Is it my heart? What about you?
Is it my masculinity, my yin, my yang?
So for you, what do you think it is? Is it the energy thing? Is it a physical thing? Or is it maybe it's everything, eh?
To me, it's definitely everything. Like, I can be an absolute nerd in terms of the science aspects, but then get me on the spirituality and the chakras, I can go down that avenue as well as the physical presence. So if I can get, for instance, like we were talking about an opal and it has all the different color plays and it's got all the different colors and it's got the different patterning, I can be absolutely fascinated by the physical presence of the stone. Most people who connect with us are generally very emotionally, symbolically, culturally driven people, and that's how they connect with the stone. It's more so how we connected at the market per se when we go to different events and showcase that we get a few more males that are just physically attracted and understanding the science of it. But generally, it's the cultural, the spiritual, and emotional aspects that draw people into our pieces.
Yeah, I guess there might be people out there that are just after specific stones for collections or.
Yeah, it's quite often that I'll find myself talking to a volcanologist or a geologist or a gemologist or a mineralogist or, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure deep down on a subtle energy level, it's affecting them in a positive way too, and they don't even know.
Oh, it definitely is. You should see them light up when they start talking about what they're really passionate about. And then once we get the same wavelength on this conversation, it just goes next to, like ours did, like our conversation did.
Okay, so you said something about the green stone, the Poinamu, and the different types. Could we go into that? Because that's news to me, sort of deal. I'm like, oh, these different types.
Oh, yes, there is different types. Okay, so on our website, yourprana.com, we go into a lot of FAQs about Poinamu. And Poinamu is stones that are exclusively found in New Zealand. Yes, there is jade all around the world, but specifically in New Zealand, we have nephrite jade, and nephrite jade has its subcategories there as well. Marsden flower jade is one of them, for example. But then not only do we have nephrite jade, then we have other forms of poinamu, so serpentine, serpentinite, bowenite. There's all sorts. You would have heard of tangiwai. There's a number. There's about 10 different varieties.
Wow, and are they all different colors? Are they all different textures? Are some similar to each other? Like, how do you distinguish? What is the categorization based on? Location?
There's different moss scales. So moss scales measure of hardness, different textures, different grains, different colors, different localities, different strengths. There's multitude of differences between them all. They're also commonly known, people know that Poinamu comes from the west coast of the South Island. There's certain places to find certain pieces, but what is also more recently coming out is jade out of the Nelson region. And you've got to think of the formation of the South Island and how the lower South Island, the mountains are a lot older, a lot more aged. There's been a lot more time, heat, and pressure for the stones to form and come to the surface. Top of the South Island is younger, and so now it's only starting to present to us on the surface what treasures it has beneath.
See. And are there more locations than those?
Those are the main ones in terms of point.
Okay.
Yeah, so just think South Island, West Coast.
It's clear because I'm heading down to Nelson in a couple of weeks, so I'll keep an eye out.
However, in saying that, you can find treasures all around New Zealand. There is amethyst, there is quartz, there's carnelian, there's agates, there's obsidian. Yeah, it can go on and on and on. And a lot of people are unaware of the treasures that we have in our countries. And the more people that know about it, the better, and the better that we can preserve it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crystal shops around the country, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they're local stones and whatever, but there's plenty to go around.
Yes.
And are you only marketing online?
Yes,
So it's
yes.
those
Now,
two.
so we used to have, we've had two galleries in the past and then decided to purely focus on creating pieces. And so what we do now is travel the country and present online, and we do fabulous things like that Zoom kind of interaction that I mentioned earlier, because we're definitely all about that one-on-one interaction. And that personalized experience. So we love to jump on Zooms and go to different events and have a ball, really. And then when we're not in person, we are creating, doing what we love.
Yeah, so someone able to come to you and create something with you for them.
Not at this point in
Okay.
time. That is something I'm working towards.
Oh, cool. All right, so I'd like to shift into more of your personal perspective on life and things, because
Okay.
I'm very fascinated with people who are tapped in a bit more to the divine energies and the spiritual side of life. We do not have a lot of awareness in the West on things. We're told a lot about what life is and what the world is, and then we never really think for ourselves if it's true for us. We just take it on board and then run with it. And love is one of those topics. So for you, how do you define love? What does it mean to you when someone says it to you? How do you receive it? Or when you say it to someone, what are you actually giving specifically? If you could use another word, how would you describe love?
passion, compassion. Love to me is something that should be embodied in everything that we do. It shouldn't just be something that you say to a significant other. It should be something that you practice for yourself in terms of the internal speech and the external speech and the activities you choose to do every day, whether it be in relation to you or others.
I like that.
Love and sharing love and gifting love is a big part of what I feel I stand for, and that it reflects in my work is really important to me. I want each piece, no matter whether it be a specimen, a carving, or a piece of jewelry, to have an effect on someone in the realm of love, whether it be encouraging someone to connect with their ancestors. Whether it be encouraging someone to connect deeper with their wider or their spirit, or whether it be someone who's seeking a gift to give another to communicate what they mean to them.
So it sounds like, so I'm going to bring it back to the passion and compassion. Love is, so passion is, the root meaning of that is suffering. Love is also around us in terms of suffering. And if you can see your suffering as something that's actually what you need to grow, a broken heart is an open heart. And love is also compassion. So understanding someone else's suffering, right? So you're not suffering alone. And it sounds like love to you is also an encouraging, helping and supporting someone to move them toward what their own goals and dreams and what they'd like to do and toward their own healing, which is pretty beautiful.
Absolutely.
On the other side of that, well, there's a book, A Course in Miracles, that talks about love and fear being the opposites. For me, I say love and apathy. So love is a connection and apathy is no connection. Fear is still a connection, and I think the opposite to fear is curiosity, like it's looking deep into something, whereas fear is sort of shying away. But what is fear to you? Like, how do you deal with your fear? How would you describe fear in your own words?
Fear to me used to be a very strong sense of fear of failure, something to be scared of. Over the years, I have learned to completely flip that, and I now look at every situation as an opportunity that might have further opportunities, but mainly an opportunity for growth. And whether we do fail per se, then rather than punishing yourself, taking that moment, that pause to reflect on what just occurred and what you can learn from it and how you can move forward from it in the best light possible.
So I guess it's only a failure if there's no learning.
But it takes a while for people to come to that point.
So for you, yeah. So what is it? Do you have a, so you're always looking for the lesson in your so-called failures, and that's how you just move on to the next.
So just trying to think of an example for you. I had a spinal fusion and I was told all sorts of uncomfortable truths before that happened, that it might not work, that it was a very risky surgery, I could die. However, I chose to then step into the opportunity and the growth phase of it and be like, no, I'm going to conquer this. No, I'm going to step forward from this. I'm going to become the best version of myself after this. And that's exactly what I did.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm dealing with a bit of a back issue as well, and I have a similar mindset. It's like, yeah, at the end of this, I'm going to be better, at the end of whatever learning and healing, and it's going to be tough. At the end of this journey, it's going to be good, and I'm going to be better for it. And it's here for, I like to say, instead of everything happens for a reason, everything happens for a purpose. And yeah, so let's find out what that purpose is,
Exactly. And be excited about the discovery to find out what it is.
Excited. Yeah, so it comes back to that for me. The opposite of fear is curiosity. If you can look into that deep, dark cave, you'll find out exactly what it is that you were perhaps afraid of wasn't actually true. Like false evidence appearing real is another meaning for fear. And when you look into that fear, you find out it's not as bad as you think. It sort of reminds me of Truth, where there's a lot of people that are living lives that seem comfortable, but they're not. And there's this truth that they need to face. Maybe it's in a relationship or something, or with their job or career. But that fear of the truth, they think it's going to be a lot worse than what they're experiencing now. But they're experiencing the suffering now. Like right now, this suffering, trust me, it's not going to be anywhere near as bad as what you think that facing the truth or facing the dragon is going to be. Once you face that dragon and the truth comes out, the truth will set you free, and the suffering you thought and imagined in your head is actually not that bad.
Our brain likes to dramatize it, right? It likes to make the potential scenario / all the different potential scenarios big, bad dragons everywhere, you know? Whereas really it's not.
That's the word, drama. That we are such drama queens, you know, humanity, eh? I reckon if aliens ever watched us for a while and they go back home, how are the humans? Oh, such drama queens. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, one of the things I found this year attending festivals and workshops, I noticed that there was one only really focusing on this topic, pleasure. And what's the meaning of life, you know, if all we're doing is hard work and we're not enjoying it and not, like, not having pleasure in life? And then there's some of us that go too far on that extreme and it's just hedonistic pleasure, and then we forego our responsibilities, right? But yeah, what about you? What does pleasure mean to you? How do you experience that in your life?
Pleasure. So I am an absolute fanatic for anything movement related. So I love dance, I love exercise, I like hiking, I like being in the water. To me, I'm that person that you look at in the gym or outside and you're like, oh my goodness, I could never imagine having that much energy. I'm that freak, okay? That is my pleasure state. I will own that 100%. Other things that bring me pleasure, dancing, again, it comes back to that movement. Singing is a big one.
Are you a good singer? Because I think everyone can sing, but whether I want to listen to you sing is a different story.
I don't call it. I just let everyone else decide on that. So far, I haven't had anyone say I'm not. So I guess that's a good thing.
Singing's great.
When I'm in my creative flow, a lot of pleasure there. And then another aspect of pleasure I have is I am definitely more of a hermit these days. So I do like being by myself. However, when I have communication with like-minded people like yourself or our customers or whatever it might be a collaboration that we're working on, and we just feel the sense of synchronicity and alignment, that's a huge state of pleasure for me.
I do find certain conversations can be draining and it's like, oh man, that was rough. And then others are like, God, that could have gone on forever, you know, and I wouldn't even know what time it was. And
it's
great. And I'm the same with movement, you know. Movement is my drug of choice. I do love food as well, but yeah, I love movement as medicine, especially in nature. That I get a lot of pleasure from that. And I guess for me, pleasure is healing. And if you're not experiencing that pleasure, then you're not healing a lot as well. And I think a lot of people are stuck in that resentment and victim mindset in a hateful state, and they're not enjoying life that much, and there's not enough pleasure there. And you know, I was there. I was depressed for like 16 years, and it was very difficult. I'd had bouts of pleasure, and I had nieces and nephews that I could look after and really look at the world through their young eyes and just get wonder and awe from them. But once they were gone, you know, only had them for the weekend or the school holidays, I was back to my deep, dark state. But so I was very blessed to have them come along in those times. But I know I wasn't quite the happy chappy that I am now. So definitely pleasure is a way to healing and the light. And we need to focus more on that, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. Thank you for sharing that as well.
Oh, yeah. Another one I like to look at, and I think is quite important, is grieving or loss, right? So how do we deal with loss? And I know culturally it's so different. Some cultures grieve for a year. You know, you do this thing for 12 months. You wear certain clothes or colors of clothes, and there's all these ways around it. Yeah. What's grieving like on your side of life?
So one grief moment that instantly pops into my mind is the loss of my opa, my grandfather, who started this journey with me. But I choose to celebrate him, you know, and embrace the life that he had, and know that he's with me on this journey, doing what we do, the mahi that we do. Grief can also be, as you mentioned, looked at in loss. I, in terms of physical things, I do embrace simplicity now rather than, I don't know what the opposite word is. There's plenty of them that I can choose from, but they're just not coming to mind.
Complexity, like.
Yeah, complexity. Like I'd rather have minimal things, like quality over quantity. So quality of life over a quantity of what, let's say theme parks or things like that. Or I'd rather
I'm the
like
same with friends. I don't have like thousands of friends, but the friendships I do have, they're deep and meaningful, or there's some connection there that relates to something important to the both of us, you know? It's not just a superficial.
So like as we've gone through life, I think as we grow older as human beings, we realize that this is a human experience and it's not about mass. It's about the simplicity of life, and being okay with that loss and that change and that transformation.
Maybe it comes also to the fear of losing, or the fear of death is one of the things, right? The fear of death, but I guess it's the fear of loss, like losing a relationship or losing a job or a contract or whatever. Yeah, it comes back to that fear thing again. And if, I guess if you can look into it for yourself, like, why am I afraid of this? Why am I afraid of losing this? And I guess it comes down to your identity. A lot of us, even me included, like we're in a relationship, then we identify as the relationship. And when that ends, oh, who am I now? You know?
And I think we've all dealt with an aspect of that at one point in time, where our identity got lost in who we were with, what we were doing. And then you have that moment, that realization of, crap, who am I? And then you have to go down that hole and really, really assess, which is a whole nother lot of fun.
But if you come with that curious mindset, it's so exciting. Like you talked about growth, and I think that's like the growth mindset. It's an exciting time if you can reframe it and get to that spot.
Exactly. If you can reframe it, yes. It takes practice.
Yeah, I mean, I got out of a beautiful relationship early this year, and it took me a while to sort of process all the things about it, but I'm so grateful for it, you know. And I had that curious mindset of was I able to take away from it? What did I learn from it? And yeah, at the end of the day, all of my relationships, those intimate ones and other ones, they've all been there for a purpose, and it's, you know, made me who I am today, and all I can be is grateful for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, another thing I like to talk about, and you know, I like to go talk about these words and get people's definitions and meanings, because everyone's different. I don't believe you can say this is how you should love and that is how you should love. We all got different. Your love is that way, my love is this way. And another thing I like to explore is spirituality and being spiritual, and what does that mean for people and their perspectives. For me, spirituality is like it's about the overall connection and how everything's interconnected, like the massive cosmic web. And the spiritual practice would be sort of looking into that and deepening it into that idea. But yeah, what's it for you to be spiritual? What does spirituality mean to you?
So spirituality to me is constantly evolving yourself and connecting with something greater than yourself. For instance, religion, you've got all sorts of different religions around the world, but ultimately it is seeking something outside of yourself and aiming to grow and evolve yourself and having this belief beyond yourself. Spirituality is the continual search of knowledge and understanding that you do not have all the knowledge out there, and being graceful and not egotistical about it. And then spirituality, religion, it's about self-reflection. It's about having those internal conversations. It's about questioning. It's about not accepting the status quo and figuring out what is your reasoning rather than what is your friends or your colleagues or your parents.
Yeah, spirituality sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I know that you and I, from experience, can both agree with
I
that.
mean, especially with that last part there about having to be able to think critically for yourself. And I think that's the most spiritual thing that we're lacking, you know, in this era, is just using that energy that you do have to think and not just regurgitate, but actually ruminate, receive a thought, think about it, like really sit with it. Is it true for you? Not just, you know, for other people. Is it true for you personally? And then are you able to integrate that into your life and bring it forward and share your truth about it? Yeah. Also, you talked about ego, and I think that I got it from Wayne Dyer. Ego is like edging God out, and spirituality is about understanding there is something bigger than you. Like, you didn't come here on your own, right? You didn't create yourself, and there's something that came before you. And I believe it's that. To me, I guess we can talk about that as well. How do you define God? To me, God is the great unknown, the great mystery. You'll never know and understand what this power is that you come from. But it's something that, like you said, I think humility and being humble and knowing, hey, I don't have all the answers. I just have my answers and I'm always seeking. But for you, how do you define God? That's one of those words. What do you mean by God? So, yeah, for you, how do you define God?
How do I define God? Well, I know it's different for everyone. Some people believe, some people don't believe. There's different variations, different beliefs. Mine is I know there's a greater power out there, and I believe in that all this did not just happen by accident. There was some amazing things that were put into play, incredible energies that were put into play to bring us to this earth, to bring us to this experience, to bring us to this moment in time where you and I are connecting right now. So there is definitely a higher power out there, and it is different for everyone.
Yeah. And we can't, like, no one knows what happened in the past. No one knows about, the Big Bang. These are all theories and models. But when someone says that's not true, what happened billions of years ago, no one knows. You can't say that's not true. You can only say, well, my belief and experience in my own life says this. But when a scientist says that's not true, or when a religious person says that's not true, this is the way, it's like, well, you don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying this for me.
And there's so many. You've got theories, then you've got science-backed, proven. And I look into all of it. Like I am a like an actual nerd. I'm not gonna lie. I look into every aspect. I look into all the different types of spirituality, all the different types of religion, the sciences, the ancient sciences, how we evolved. And there's just so many different opinions out there. So you've just got to come to it. Everyone's got to come to it at the end of the day and make their own decisions and be okay with sitting with that and have the confidence to not be influenced by peers, come to that realization of their own beliefs on their own.
How did you find that for you, though? How were you able to find your grounding and who you are to be strong enough to just receive from others but not be knocked over by them or be affected or influenced? What was it for you? What practice helped you sort of have this knowing and awareness of self? Because for me, one of the most attractive qualities in a person, right, is that someone that I can look to and go, man, I really like this person. I really love hanging out with them. I really respect them, is self-awareness. Like, I guess that's what it is there. So how did you cultivate a lot of self-awareness and self-knowing?
I think it's the challenges that I've had throughout my life that's put me in those situations that have made me have to have the strength to do that. I used to be an easy pushover. But yeah, like spinal fusions.
So physically as well as energetically.
Physically, emotionally,
It's interesting.
something not many people know about me is, I was abused at one point in time as well. And that took me a lot to move through and to even speak about with ease, like I just did. But the strength and stamina that came from that to stand in my own beliefs was huge.
So it sounds like it's something that was just within. Like, did you have anyone teach you or support you or be a role model? Like, yeah, where does this come from for you, do you think?
Oh, I mean, everyone's had mentors and role models and people they aspire to connect with along the way. For instance, my yoga journey, I had teachers on my yoga journey. I've had teachers on my mineralogy journey. I've had teachers in all aspects of my life. So I guess I've just taken a little bit from here, I've taken a little from here, and I've come to form my own opinions.
So it sounds like your growth mindset has really helped you receive and take it all in and then use it. I mean, that's what Bruce Lee talks about, like, keep what works, discard what doesn't, and then make your own, make your own of what you learn. So it sounds like what you've done.
Exactly. And I mean, like, there's lots of affirmations, there's lots of phrases out there. This one starting with M, affirmations and
Mantras.
Mantras, yes, mantras. There's lots, but one I always come back to, I've got lots, but the one that really stands true to me is I can, I will, I'll heal, I'll learn, I'll grow.
Can, I will. I'll heal, I'll learn, I'll grow. Wow, that's powerful. That's great. Yeah. Do you do any meditation or breathing exercises?
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did Qigong for a while, I think 3.5 years consistently, like day after day. And my mantra in that one was, I breathe love into myself and I breathe love out to the world. So in every breath, so how many breaths is there? I should try and count it up. But yeah, I did that so many times that it's who I am now, you know? It's just there. But I do need to get back into it. But yeah.
Yeah, but you can just right, I need to tap into that now and just bring it forward and be like, okay.
Yeah, I do that when I'm out walking. I do it in the kitchen, whatever. Like if I can, I come back to my nasal belly breathing and just that's in my head. It's just there. Is that the same for you?
I know. So I've got this other one which I call the golden thread. I know I can tap into that at any moment. I can, I will. I've got I'm a time millionaire. There's all these different techniques, or breathing in light, exhaling, black, all the negative, all the chakra alignment. Honestly, there's a lot in here.
That's great. So, yeah, that's awesome. I mean, this has been cool. How do people find out about you and your work and, get one of your beautiful pieces?
Fantastic. I'd love to connect. So yourprana.com, so yourprana.com. You can find out all the details on there. If you're interested in the jewelry, the Pounamu carvings, the mineral specimens, or maybe someone wants to work with me one-on-one on one of the aspects that I've spoken about today, absolutely do that. So I do business mentoring as well as all the good things about health and movement.
And are you always at the markets in Kerikeri, or how often do you go there?
No. So I do a lot of traveling. So it's sometimes I can tell you the next week if I'm going to be there or not. But
So
yeah, I
do we,
tend to be up and down the country a little bit.
so how do we find out about where you'll be in terms of that?
Yeah. So if you just head to our website and you sign up for our newsletter, I send out updates of where I'm going to be on there.
Awesome. Cool. This has been great. Thanks for coming on. This has been awesome. I love these sort of conversations. I just don't know where they're going to go sometimes. And I could just imagine back in my sort of dark days hearing something like this. I'm like, oh, well, who are these people? What are they talking about? But at the same time, it's a seed, right? It's we're planting seeds of love and light. So.
It is exactly, and it's not like we haven't been to those dark times. We've been through there, and we're talking from the other side. Hopefully, showing one of your listeners right now that there is another way.
That's the whole point of the show is, hey, there's another way to heal and love life. Cool. Thanks, Antoinette.
No worries. Nice to connect, Jason.
Thank you once again, Antoinette. That was an awesome conversation. I really like what you're offering. Your crystal and mineral specimens, they're not just beautiful looking trinkets. These are powerful medicines. The energies that they contain, and if you pick the one that resonates with you, they are great healers in their own right. And yeah, so I highly recommend getting in touch with Antoinette. She let me know after the show ended that on their website they only have 5% of their total collection. So if there's something on the website that doesn't seem to resonate with you, get in touch with Antoinette and she'll be able to go through with you and talk through what they do have on offer and what would resonate well with you. I'm definitely going to be doing that myself as well. Anyway, that's it from me. So until next time, stay free. Be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.